Hello, Crown Prayers. We are discussing and presenting some thoughts of St. Gaspar and our early stigmatine tradition on the Compendium Rude. And after all of these first 15 or so lectures, we're now considering the word, the formula, in obsequium. And we saw how that in obsequium refers to the founder's devotion to Scripture, the founder's devotion to the Eucharist, all of life, his offertory, consecration, and Holy Communion. We found in St. Gaspar's own writings his obsequium to God, to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of love, the Trinity, and also toward the Most Blessed Sacrament and toward the Divine Word, that is, the Word of God, both revealed and Eucharistic. Then there's also his great devotion to Mary and Father Nello della Vedove, one of our fine Stigmatine theologians, has written a very insightful book on St. Gaspar and Mary, and also the great commitment that St. Gaspar had all his life to the Church. So, the last lecture we were describing the word episcoporum and what that means to the community. First, we saw them as the legitimate interpreters of the Word of God, and today we'll see how this meant that St. Gaspar had a clerical congregation, a priestly congregation, yet everybody in the community is called, qui cum, where is called, to develop this ministry as best they can in whatever state of life they're in. So let me begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, O holy spouses Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertoni, please pray for us all. So when we consider the priesthood in this obsequium, this was a major issue in the 1970s, as I'll try to explain in this reflection. Yet the Holy See has always insisted that clerical communities remain clerical and fraternities without priesthood remain basically fraternities, like the Franciscans. They were founded as brothers, ordo fratrum minorum, and the priesthood absorbed the brotherhood to such an extent that the brothers were almost like a second-class citizen. And that has been the problem. It is true, however, that the Second Vatican Council abolished every kind of class in religious life. Pope Paul VI's encyclical Evangelii Nuntiandi has intensified and broadened the idea of evangelization. We had a wonderful brother in the early community, Paolo Zanoli. And at the time when the Austrian army took over the Stimmate, he brought not a few of them back to church by his simple conversation. I think in my own time at St. Agnes of the Goss and the General Council, when we had Brother Egidio Nardini, very simple, loving man and very lovable man, and he actually did some good to us with vocations, trying to express the stigmata and so on, besides being such a delight to the community of St. Agatha's. So certainly their conversation and their work and their service is evangelization. That being said, there is still a priestly service in the Church that cannot be lost sight of. It needs improvement, it needs deeper and more sublime spirituality. But evangelization can be done by anyone by being a good human being, or as St. Gaspar says, begin a conversation by entering through their world with whom, those with whom you're speaking, but lead them eventually to our world. So our apostolate basically is priestly. So what is the background here? Well, in the time of the Stigmatine founder, almost every middle-class family had a servant. In my own life, I had them too when I was a young man. You didn't have to be extraordinarily wealthy. It was just the custom. This idea of class in societies in which the monarchical system of government in the church was still a very, very vivid memory. All of this has had a very profound impact on religious life. It is true that as individuals we are all products of our times. This is particularly true of the Stigmatine founder, who might indeed be contrasted fraternally with an original thinker who was his penitent, Father Anthony Rosmini, an absolutely brilliant philosopher, who, however, got into trouble with some of his teachings, and yet in recent years the cause of his canonization has made some headway. At any rate, Father Bertone was a man of his time, and Father Rosmini, in some ways, was way ahead of his time, as he wrote The Five Wounds of the Church in Our House in Trent. And that booklet has had a great reprint in our own time and great interest, because it's one of the aspects treated there. The wounds in the church are why we had Vatican II, to update the church and to bring her into the 20th and 21st centuries. So in that part of the rule, though, where the founder begins to spell out the specifics of the apostolic mission, we find these words: the members who would want to become apostolic missionaries must be characterized by the following. These are constitutions, by the way, constitutions number 161 and 162. The first qualification is the clerical state, that they be endowed with every disposition that they might serve the priestly ministry with perfection. Secondly, they will also be assigned to the administration of the sacraments, especially penance and the Eucharist. Now, while we know that any baptized person or anyone in an emergency may distribute the Eucharist, only the priesthood can confect it, and the sacramental forgiveness of sin is reserved also for the priests. As the Father sent me, I now send you. Go forth and forgive sin. So, along with the celebration of the Holy Mass that they offer for the success of our missions, which are those of preaching and those of confessions. So, we have very clearly stated here in an important part of our constitutions that we are not classless, but there is a religious service, religious priestly service that we owe to God through the charism of St. Caspar Bertone. Father Bertone referred to this a number of times during his lifetime. For example, in letter 54, he writes to Mother Naudet, Father Galvani, who is said to be totally Ignatian, has offered me the Stimite as a wonderful place to establish a congregation of priests who would live under the rules of St. Ignatius. Now, this is certainly the situation of the Society of Jesus before us. But again, late in life, when Father Bertone realized with the lack of development in the community that he was no longer able to manage it all, he wanted to give over a good part of our property back to the church so that they might develop in a way that he was presently unable to do. So in his letter, we read this that he wrote to the Holy See, to Pope Gregory XVI. Most Holy Father, the very least of your servants, the undersigned priest, with a few of his companions, are living the priestly and communion common life for 22 years, and in this way have served the spouse of Christ gratuitously. We do this to honor in this spouse the common Creator and Savior of us all. And this is my own firm decision, as well as that of my companions, to spend ourselves totally, and this is the obsequium, in serving our Lord and his church, if he thinks us worthy to do so. So again, his insistence on the priesthood as the main source and the main proponent of the Stigmatine apostolic mission. While the Society of Jesus was gathered in its general congregation in December of 1974, I was in Rome. And I think for the only time in the history of all of these extraordinary general chapters did the Holy Father Pope Paul VI intervene with a proposal. This had not yet been decided. that the Jesuits had proposed in this idea of having a classless religious community and family, that there were not separate classes, we were all equal. But Pope Paul's problem was St. Ignatius's beginning idea, his original plan, was to serve the Pope in the apostolic mission, which in 9 times out of 10 of the in the lists of the services that we render, the priesthood stands out very eloquently. So the Pope wrote a strong letter to the Society of Jesus, and he asks them a few questions. This letter was dated December 3rd, 1954, the feast of St. Francis Borgia. So the Pope's letter reads, "Where do you come from?" These are the Jesuits to whom he's speaking. "Who are you? Where are you going?" "We speak to you as Pope in the name of Christ. As you like to reconsider us, we are the highest superior of the Society of Jesus, by reason of the special bond which from the time of its foundation always links the Society of Jesus to the Roman Pontiff. We know, therefore, who you are. You are members of a religious, apostolic, priestly order, united by a special bond with the Roman Pontiff, a bond of love, service, in the manner described in the formula of the Institute, which is obsequium." This is the manner, the modus, how the Jesuits serve the Church. "Secondly, you are religious. You are furthermore apostles, missionaries. And the very diversity of your ministries to which the Society is dedicated draws from such sources its most profound reason for that apostolic life which must always be lived in the fullest sense, as missionaries and as religious. But you are also priests, and this is an essential characteristic of the Company of Jesus, while not forgetting the ancient and legitimate tradition of the excellent brothers of your history. Even though they are not endowed with sacred orders, they too have played an honorable and effective role in the Company of Jesus. However, the priesthood was formally required by the founder for the religious elevated to the professed. The proposal that had been sent to the general chapter of the Jesuits was that the fourth vow be eliminated. There is a good reason for this, of restraining the fourth vow to the priests, because the priesthood is necessary in this community established by the founder, which has its principal purpose the sanctification of human beings, the Word of God, and sacraments. Effectively, the priestly character is required by your dedication to the apostolic life, we repeat it, understood in the full sense, by the very charisma of the priestly order, which configures one to Jesus Christ sent by his Father. This priestly service is the heart of the mission, to which as Jesuits you are deputed, flows principally from this. Therefore, you are priests who administer the grace of God with the sacraments, priests who receive the power and have the duty to participate organically, meaning with some order, in the apostolic work of nourishment and of union of the Christian community, especially through the celebration of the Eucharist. You are united to the Pope by a special vow." Now, in the plan that St. Caspar had, being born as for the assistance of bishops, collaborators in the mission of the apostles. So the hierarchical authority is very important to us. St. Caspar, as you remember, was a diocesan priest. So instead of a special vow pronounced for the service of the Pope, we live this promise made to the bishops of the world and not to any one single bishop. Therefore, in St. Caspar's ideal, the members submit in their vocation to hierarchical authority. We only do what the bishops want us to do as they interpret the changing and various needs of their diocese. Thus, we offer to the Church a witness of the submission of Jesus to his Heavenly Father. We try to personify that the way we live, or the way Mary and Joseph lived toward Christ, the stigmatine by being available, living the apostolic mission in obsequium episcoporum. The stigmatines do not make a special vow to the obedience to the bishops, because juridically this is impossible. If we want to remain religious and not diocesan oblates, if you make a vow to the local bishop, you are a diocesan oblate. The stigmatine is called to this difficult vocation, to offer a dedicated obedience in a very broad and proper series of the ministries, but all of this in a special manner, one that is outstanding in our commitment to the bishop. So this covers all that pertains to the apostolic mission. Every aspect of it we can only do on the invitation or the command of a bishop. This obsequium of the stigmatine has its object in that which is concerned with the apostolic mission. Suarez has a beautiful idea in his commentary on St. Ignatius. He said every religious order that is approved has three founders. The Holy Spirit, somebody gets a charism or a gift from God, a special grace, as it's called by St. Paul. Secondly, in the matter of the Stigmatines and the Jesuits, two canonized saints, St. Ignatius and St. Gaspar Bertoni. But the third founder is the magisterium. We are not freewheelers. We are not on our own. We are serving the church, and the church is in subservience to her consecrated teachers and preachers, the bishops. The Stigmatine congregation was born to fulfill this role to the spouse of Christ, this role of the apostolic mission. So this is why Jesus offers himself, as we do in the obsequium, why Jesus is consecrated to his Father in John 10, as we are by our vows, and then is united to the Most Blessed Trinity and committed to the communion of the saints, which is the Church. Therefore, the great High Priest is the servant of the Father and the self-sacrificing spouse of the Church. We're all fairly well familiar with the basic spirituality of St. Gaspar Bertoni is holy abandonment to the will of God. It's really an heroic living of the Our Father, thy will be done. And in order to present this holy abandonment regarding our personnel, regarding our apostolic mission, and regarding where we go. So we have an abandonment of the personnel. Every stigmatine is committed in some way to this universal apostolic mission. And we are sent anywhere, quocumque. This is called a geographical abandonment. We can be sent as missionaries that where anywhere our talents may be in better use or where the bishops find a greater need for the church. And the challenge of all of this is the quodcumque, any ministry of the Word of God whatsoever. That does not mean, as we'll see shortly, that we claim to be better than others or we do more than others. The term clerical now perhaps has a pejorative meaning, but the purpose of the stigmatine founder has often been clouded in the heated and justified discussions that do ensue regarding his charism. However, clericality can really no longer be discussed in the light of the decisions of the Holy See. We must consider far more what was the apostolic mission in the mind and heart of St. Gaspar Bertoni and how that is unfolding wherever we may be and however we may strive to serve the bishop. So in the stigmata ideal, there's a plurality of ministries, there's a variety of members, and the founder did have the hope that we would be universal in its membership. So he insisted on this priestly ministry, which is the inspiration of the apostolic mission. Our services are varied and proper, and these are then to be determined by the very special needs that the church might have. Well, the third point here then in the obsequium is, how can we claim to be more than others? Everybody is called to obey the Pope, as we believe in the teaching of the church, that whose sins you forgive, as Jesus said to Peter, they are forgiven, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. on this rock I will build my church. So the entire church is called to obey the Pope in faith and morals. So how could a stigmatine claim to be more than others? The 29th General Chapter of 1970 was an extraordinary General Chapter and called for the renewal of the constitutions to bring them in accord with Vatican II. The late Father Gilbert Feeney was Father General there. He convoked this chapter and was in preparation for it to be celebrated in 1970. Unfortunately, he died 2 years before that, in the fourth year of his second term as Father General. But in this time, the reading of our constitutions were as follows. The Congregation of the Sacred Stigmata is for the assistance of bishops more than other institutes because of a more acute missionary sensibility to the needs of diocese. Now, that rule had been in our books for a long, long time without any comment. But somehow, between 1970 and 1976, when another general chapter was held, the ordinary after 6 years, they thought that this was triumphalism. Hey, you guys obey the Pope, we stigmatines do it better. But there was also this following directive added to the interpretation of 1970. Keep the content of this rule as it was read up to now, but take out its competitive spirit. This seems to be behind the expression more than others. It was not a competitive spirit in our history, and the Jesuits faced this same difficulty hundreds of years ago. The Company of Jesus is called to the greatest service of the Roman Pontiff, ad maiorem Dei gloriam. The Jesuit theologian of several centuries ago, Father Suarez, discussed this point very thoroughly. And I have the quote here on the page where you might find it. But he says, in obedience to the Roman Pontiff, even though the entire church is called to this, the Society of Jesus does enjoy something proper to it. The early institution of this community, in the early institution, there is very evident in the words of the pontiffs who approved it, that in no other religious community is there found this proposal, and one that is repeated so many times, a special obedience to the Pope is the primary purpose of the Jesuits. Remember, they were born in a time of great dissolution of the faith throughout Europe in the Reformation, when everybody banded about the idea of private interpretation. So St. Ignatius wanted to establish a group of very talented men who would obey the Pope and by means of a vow. So this does not mean, though, that all the religious of the society take this vow. They who do profess it comprise the principal part of the society. The work they do responds to the principal purpose of which the society was founded. Now, admittedly, the words of Father Suarez of several centuries ago smack of their times. But the idea behind it all was an emphasis on the priestly work of the church. So, for example, if we come to a decision, or the chapter had to come to a decision, whether we should all be hospital chaplains or whether we should remain at the disposition of the bishops, we would remain at the disposition of the bishops. That's our principal scope. Well, why did St. Ignatius develop this idea? Well, Father Suarez presents with St. Ignatius three reasons. For a greater direction to obedience of the Holy See, a greater abnegation of our own will, and a more sure direction of the Holy Spirit. Three times here, there is magis, for the greater honor and glory of God, greater obedience, greater abnegation, a more sure direction of the Holy Spirit. St. Bonaventure discussed this matter for a second vow for the Franciscans. They too have a kind of a special connection with the Pope. Even if all the clergy and all the religious are firmly held to obey, over and above this ordinary service of the church, there can still be a very special obedience which is held in mind. This would be an act of faith consecrated men who do this would be living an act of faith, consecrated in which to do it, and offer faithful service that would be received, that would receive a particular grace and merit. So therefore, the spiritual exercises preached by St. Gaspar, taken from those of St. Ignatius, require a submission to the Church by all the faithful, but there is also a specific stigmatine submission found in this community's availability to the bishops concerning the apostolic mission, as Father Lenotti taught the novices of long ago. We are trying to emulate the abandonment of Jesus to his heavenly Father. That's what we're trying to do. Or the obedience of Mary and Joseph to Jesus, or the service of Mary and Joseph to Jesus. So in the spirit of the original constitutions, we do not have the ordinary care of parishes, nor perpetual chaplaincies of convents. These were never envisioned by the founder. However, the juridical climate in the Church has somewhat changed over the years, and so many provinces and individuals in the provinces look upon the parish now not as some kind of a separating haven, but as a mission center. And many of our parishes, I think of the ones in Milan and the ones in Rome, also have a very strong missionary sensitivity. They do a number of things. The great Father Fabbro, for example, renowned figure in the Church, would play soccer on Saturday afternoons in the backyard of Santa Croce with the students. And they all said he attacked the soccer ball the way he attacked the enemies of Thomism. So what we're talking about here is a kind of a total availability. If a man marries and settles in, his service is that home. That's where he, from which he enriches the parish, where he offers evangelization to the people he knows. But a stigmatine is called to a more than ordinary knowledge at the total availability of the Church, as this is mediated to each of us by means of the bishops where we serve. Stigmatine submission, then, is meant to retain a particular special character. Stigmatine obedience is directly toward the apostolic mission offered for the assistance of bishops. The service places an entire congregation at the service of the bishops. So this has been the struggle. This may be less so in our own time, but there are still many, many difficulties in the interpretation of St. Gaspar, and that's why we have a special grace of this vocation. It's interesting, but Evangelii Nuntiandi reminds religious that their first apostolate is witness, to live a good life. And by the way they live their life, they may offer a catechesis, a lived expression of these truths. So to end, I'll just read a paragraph which we have already seen a number of times from Father Lenotti. It may be clearly seen here that the intention of Father Bertone really was this, that of constituting a congregation like the Company of Jesus in a special manner is dedicated, directed to the service or sacrio and to the dispositions of the Roman pontiff. Then this congregation would be dedicated and determined in a special way, an outstanding manner, to the service and obedience of sacrio of bishops. God bless you, and thank you for listening. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom, pray for us. May the holy apostles, Mary and Joseph, pray for us that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening.